This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 7.47 a.m., Friday the 26th of February, and we are running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. What are we asking today?
We're asking you, does the vaccine rollout inspire more confidence in Malaysia's economic recovery? 23% say yes, 49% say yes, but not so soon. 26% say no, it's overhyped, and 2.6% don't know. Only about 80 people have voted so far, so get your vote in. You've got until 8.45, 9 p.m. to get your vote in.
9 a.m., in fact.
Yes, that's a.
I'm not going to hang around with you so long, okay, Roshan? You can stay here. We are gone.
Let us know what you think. But in the meantime, we are looking at an interesting piece of news that emerged on Wednesday. The Yang di-Pertuan Agong decreed that Parliament could reconvene even during the emergency period, of course, upon the advice of Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. So the statement noted that assumptions by some parties that the emergency proclamation prevents Parliament from convening is inaccurate, and it comes 45 days after the Agong acquiesced to the government's request to declare a state of emergency until August 1st as a coronavirus containment measure.
Yes, so as we know, the Dewan Rakyat last met on December 17 and the Dewan Negara on December 29. That feels like, you know, a century ago. Anyway, constitutionally, Parliament has 6 months or until June 29 to reconvene before it is automatically dissolved.
So what does this mean for the government moving forward, and what might be Tan Sri Muhyiddin's next move? For some analysis into this, we have on the line with us Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at the Ilham Centre. Good morning, Dr. Hamidin. Thanks so much for joining us today. So the onus is now on Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin to call for a Parliament sitting following the Yang di-Pertuan Agong's remarks. How likely do you think it is that he will call for a sitting, and if so, when?
Yeah, I think Tan Sri Muhyiddin have no other choice other than to call the Parliament for sitting. But I don't think he will call it as soon as possible, but I think it will take some time. I don't think it will be next week, maybe a week after that. And the length of the sitting also, I don't think it will be going to be a very long sitting. Not one day, I hope, as happened before, but I do believe Tan Sri Muhyiddin will definitely try to limit the time for Parliament to convene to make sure that the pressure for his party and his government to be reduced as much as he can.
So overall, there are pressures on Tan Sri Muhyiddin's government. And if Parliament is allowed to sit, what options do you think he has left to remedy the situation and ease pressures on him before Parliament convenes, whenever that may be?
I think definitely is pressure on him, but normally, when the Parliament, I don't think, even though many people look at the sitting of the Parliament will be a best time for opposition to table a vote no confidence, but I don't think government will allow that. I think he will take a normal measure where I think the Parliament will, the sitting of the Parliament will emphasize more on the business of the government. And with that, I think he will be safe when it comes to vote of no confidence. I'm not sure, even though some of the people say that. Meaning now, definitely, how relation between Tan Sri Muhyiddin and speakers of the House is also important. It seems that Azalina is not in the his good book now, but I don't think at the same time that there's going to be a very clear revolt from the speakers of the House. But I think what Tan Sri Muhyiddin definitely want to show in the Parliament is how his government tackling COVID-19. So COVID, I think, will be definitely the something be used to save him.
Do you think after the vaccination program is almost completed, UMNO will withdraw its support for PN and force a general election before it is due?
Oh, this is interesting. I think when it comes to the sitting of the Parliament, I do believe that UMNO will take the advantage of that. Depend as a party or as individual. I think we know before the calling for the darurat, two members of the Parliament, Nazri Aziz and Jazlan from Machang, both of them declared that they are no longer in support of the PN government. So if in this particular sitting of the Parliament, there is others, members of Parliament from UMNO individually want to call to call off their support to Tan Sri Muhyiddin, that will give a lot of trouble for him. But I don't think that will call for the vote of no confidence. But politically, I think that will give more effect to Tan Sri Muhyiddin.
So what have passed then? It seems that they're stuck between these two parties. So which side do you think PAS will eventually fall on?
Well, that is a very interesting question. Looking at PAS, I think definitely now PAS are very much eating in two fields. I think benefit from both. But looking at the current situation, I think Bersatu have more kind of in favor of PAS. We hardly see any attack to PAS by Bersatu leadership. But I think UMNO have a big some problem with that, where some of the people leadership in UMNO do attack PAS in their personal capacity. However, PAS, I think, still want to have both, because the combination between Bersatu and UMNO definitely will give them more advantages. But at the current situation, I think PAS will choose Bersatu at the particular time. However, I think we can see the strain even within PAS itself when it comes to who to choose for the next coming elections.
So, Hamidin, Perikatan National Component members held their Election Bureau meeting last night. A part of this includes PAS, Parti Bersatu, of course, STAR, SAPP and Gerakan. Mm. So, when we take a look at the situation, when it comes to a general election, if we see a three-cornered fight, Pakatan Harapan and Friends, UMNO and Perikatan National as it is right now, what could that look like? Who has the upper hand in this situation?
Oh yeah, that in fact, I think that's a million question that everybody is asking now. Even for us, most of people, when they're contacting us, basically the scenario is that three corner fight, who will be the advantage. I think it depends. It depends on the areas, and it depends on the candidate. This is where, in my point of view, local politics will play its role. But however, at this particular time, I think if there is a three corner fight between PN, BN, and PH, I think it's going to be clearly no clear winner that we're going to have in the next government. So we're going to have a very much a stalemate situation in that sense. But I think the bigger loser will be Barisan Nasional. That I think I'm quite sure. If there is a three-corner fight, Barisan Nasional, I think, will have a big problem facing if PAS combined with Bersatu and PH. But I think PH will do relatively well in that situation.
And speaking of Barisan Nasional, UMNO will hold its annual general assembly on March 27th and 28th. Abedin, what are your expectations out of that the AGM?
I think the AGM definitely will make it official that if the decision has been taken that for UMNO to dish to walk off from Perikatan Nasional, I think they will make it official. I think, but at the same time, I think UMNO will definitely pressure more on the government. However, I think I'm looking not that I'm looking very much is UMNO willing to make a very big decision to bowl. To make an announcement that they are leaving the Perikatan Nasional and not to wait until after the emergency. I think UMNO have to make really that hard decision when for them to make an official that they are no longer part of the Perikatan Nasional government.
If that happens, Hamidin, what happens to the UMNO cabinet members then? Will they have to follow the party?
I think definitely. I think that is a very much a big pressure for the members or the minister cluster within UMNO. But I think the interesting thing, I don't think the government will collect because we are under the emergency. So it's going to be a big issues within UMNO. But I think some people in UMNO think that they have to do that early to cover any problem, to communicate with their supporters, even to mend any rift they have within the party.
Well, I guess, to ensure some political stability for Muhyiddin, do you think he will extend the emergency till the end of this year?
I don't think so. I think it's definitely depend on the COVID situation. But I don't think he will extend the emergency. But depend on the running of the running of the parliament. I think historically, remember, we are under the emergency from 1965 to 2011-2012, and the parliaments were convened throughout that time, elections were held. So I don't think in the first place why this current government want to suspend parliament when they declared the emergency. So with that, I don't think he want to prolong the parliament. And it seems there is some positive reaction towards by the people, especially on the vaccination program. So with that, I think that give kind of good feel good factor for Muhyiddin, and definitely I do believe that he will do something on economic to make sure that there is a good feel good factor for him to call off the emergency and to call for the election.
All right. Now, we've also not been hearing a lot of news from PH Pakatan Harapan lately. So what do you think will be their strategy here?
I think this is interesting. I think what happened now for Pakatan is very much what we do expect. As analysts, we see that Pakatan is having a big problem in terms of leadership. I think this is where we are not sure what they want, what is they heading to. Even if they're talking about what is the strategy for the PRU, we haven't seen anything. And no leadership in Pakatan talking about that. What is their strategy? What is their mean? What is their manifesto even for the next coming election? So, and at the same time, I think Pakatan really have to sort it out, especially when it comes to the leadership in Pakatan.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Dr. Hamidin. That was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at the Ilham Center, helping us to break down the extremely complicated politics that surround the now increased potential that we'll see a parliament sitting before too long.
Yeah, so he mentioned the Pakatan Harapan at this point. What is the leadership? What's the strategy, vision, manifesto, and so forth? And I'm thinking to myself, well, what is the manifesto for the other parties as well? Yeah, so maybe for UMNO, it's quite clear. It's usually about protecting Malaysia. Privileges. But I think as I see it, Muhyiddin really has the upper hand, right? Or rather his Bersatu Party and him, because he's running the economy, he's rescuing us, getting us out of COVID-19.
I'm just curious to see what happens at the UMNO AGM, really, and what implications that has on the UMNO-friendly ministers or the UMNO-friendly parties to the current government. This is going to be, I think that's going to be a pivotal moment to watch.
UMNO's also been increasingly fractured, right, over the past couple of months. So which faction will come out on top? That'll be very interesting to watch. But right now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And then after that, we'll be having the breakfast grill, where I'll be speaking with Datin Mina Chia Fong, Managing Director of In Nature Berhad. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.